Owner Brass Stacks.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Well, I was good up until that call, but we'll get better because the lady is very strong, so I need to sit up. But that one kind of knocked me a little bit when she spoke about her daughter.
Your discussion this morning mm-hmm. has brought me out. Not that you don't bring me out all the time, but this one, especially with special needs people and the situation. So I want to be listened to, and if I'm out of place, then I'm out of place. But I don't think so, because it's well thought of. You know, when you study this country and you realize what is going on in this country, it seems that everybody expects the government or the government departments to be funding this and funding that. And there are the private institutions in Barbados who can do a lot better. Take, for example, I want to compliment the Muslim community in Barbados for the way they feel about us Bajans and the consideration in helping out. I want to compliment Saul, who understand the situation as far as Barbados is concerned, and give what they could afford to give. That is petrol to move the trucks across the island to deliver the packages. But when you study that, there's so many people who have slipped through the loose. And there's so many organizations that are making sure that there's a green line under their names. And they refuse to help. They can help, but governors to do this and governors to do that. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to use three organizations that I know can assist. Because of the wealth background, because of the real estate background in this country, and because of the complete donations that are made and salary deductions that are made to the institution. And up to today, this is over a year we have been going through this situation of people in need who need help. Beyond that, again, similar to what you're talking, Ms. Haig, that the people in this country who need help, but institutions are overlooking them. Now, when you take one of the major institutions in Barbados, and I'm not going to name it, but I'm going to talk around it, who in true and fact, on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, their salary deductions. They've got a very heavy membership. They've got real estate. And up to today, not one single offer has been given to the members or to the same thing you're in the calls are talking about. And they can afford it. They can afford it. And as far as I'm concerned, this is not fair that governments to do this and governments to do that, government paying heavy salaries, government doing this, and you've got organizations in Barbados who pull in millions of dollars when the year comes. And you've got people in Barbados that drop under. You've got some families that, as far as I'm concerned, are making annual contributions to this one of the same institutions. And up to today, they have not said, but look, the government has just paid almost $3 million for national insurance. When you consider that government is looking out, government has a way to look after, but government needs help. John, there are too many people in this country who are taking the wealth and stacking it and refusing to help government and just making the demands on government. I am making a demand now. I'm saying this, and I'm going to. There are some unions in this country that can afford to help government in the cause. If the Muslim community can do it, and if independent bodies can do it, if STAR can do it, I'm saying that this body can say, well, if no more than once a month, let me make a contribution to the welfare of Barbados. Or let me look at, as far as I'm concerned, those people who have gone on that need some help. But not every month you are stacking your account with reductions as far as salaries are concerned, salary payments are concerned to your union dues. But not one cent SCNT, nothing in terms of making a contribution. And this is not fair, Joe. I know mm-hmm. that. I know you're listening.
I am. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Sometimes he goes off his rock. But somewhere along the line, I am serious this morning. Mm-hmm. Like this conversation with all these people who have gone under the shoot here. And people who in true fact, if they was out of the shoot, would be making a contribution to. But when you study Quran, study the strength of, and I can tell you the strength because I've been falling and over the years. And they can save to more than 250 a month. After more than 175 a month, we are going to make back payments to all workers who got families the same way and who could contribute to the society. I don't think it is fair that government. I don't think it is fair that government has to be looking after everything and government begging for help.
Well, I think we need to recognize, in particular, even that article there. There are some people who see people and they figure that they can work. And in a lot of cases, don't get me wrong, there are some ridiculous human beings out there that would just like to live off of the system and not try to get off, and there's just nothing wrong with them. But don't get mixed up between those manipulators of a system versus those who genuinely need help. And I don't think that we should rush to judgment when we see articles as to the people are lazy and so on and so forth. If you think that they are, okay, so be it. Clearly you have no plans to help. And if it is you want to help, but you're not sure if they really need the help, then you investigate a little bit more before you rush to judgment. But the government, and you're right, can't do everything for everyone. But there are people out there for sure need some help. And there are other people out there who rely on government because they don't want to get up and do for themselves. And I hope that we sift out between the two and not get confused, because then those who really need help will be labeled as lazy with the others. And that's unfortunate. Thank you, Mark. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hi, and a blessed morning, sister.
All right, my sister. Blessed morning to you, too.
Good to hear you.
Likewise. What's up?
Yeah. What Mark was saying was on my mind from the time call this started. I think I did mention it at one point. Mm-hmm. Where hotels, you know, we got 5-star, 4-star. That just one I mentioned. That I think, you know, can really try to help the workers that keep them going all these years. As Mark was saying, you know, government can't do everything. Provide for them. Because this, as the word of God said, this will not last forever. But take care of those who take care of you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My main point, 2 points. Education. Yesterday, I don't know, you can correct me if someone was saying that let some of the children go ahead and do the exams or something like that.
Dennis would have to tell me. I didn't get to hear all of the show, but go ahead.
Because I don't think that would be fair. Because as we were saying, some children have all the amenities and some don't. And some don't, even if they have the amenities, they may not be all fair with all the ways of the computer and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What is the big rush to get the event over there? And the world has come to a pause, though. So I'm saying give her everything, but give the children some space, give them some room, give them some kind of some of that. So I have grandchildren too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe work along with what's happening. And even if we have to scrap the exam, we scrap it for this year and give the children a piece of mind to go into the exam next year. Or I don't see this rush going over there. When even for the CXC, where the young people didn't get the scholarships they needed and things. But even if they had gotten it, what would have happened? They probably would have gone overseas and come back home because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just work around what is happening. Okay. Give the children a break. The teachers, some of them are so frustrated. The people really know what's going on. I speak to teachers, and it's. And they have their own children to deal with as well. So let me settle, don't let me rush it. We get over it. Everybody, this is where we get over it.
Go ahead. One more thing. Go ahead.
Okay. I did a class on care of the elderly sometime back. And it included special needs. Not a lot, right? You know, you get a little piece here and a little piece there and so on. and you have a special needs daughter, you said, right?
Yes, I do.
So, not to be too personal, but are the parents of special needs children told, do they dig down and actually explain to the parents what can occur and the lifespan of the child, the possible lifespan? We love.
You mean, do we get a handbook when it happens?
Not
well. I don't know what happens now as much. I know before, I guess it's different for me. I was lucky to have an excellent pediatrician, Dr. Clay Cave, and very empathetic human being. Mm-hmm. And then I believe one or two parents seemed to put me on to. Later on, he then got parents to call me when I was able to pass it on to other parents. But there's no handbook. Like, there's no handbook for becoming a parent, period. But no, there's no real guidance. The doctors may tell you this is what your child is presenting signs of. In my case, a person with Down syndrome. There are no blood tests that they do here. They're blood tests that they can do. But of course, they go by the physical features first. And then there's some other problems that you have. But that's just Down syndrome. There are other disabilities out there, like autism. That you have to go to developmental doctors, Dr. Jenny Campbell, and then up to yesterday, a young lady called me, and her son is at primary school, and she couldn't get him to do the Zoom at all, and she had to take him then to get an assessment, and they found out that he had attention deficit disorder, and then he needed some more, they needed to see him a little bit more to see if it was a step up for something else. So, but it happens.
Right? Mm-hmm. The reason that I asked you that question is it was mentioned to us, certain things that comes along with this health situation. Mm-hmm. Like some may have enlarged heart and, physical feature is not just the problem, but there's certain things. So I think we should love them, look after them for as long as we have them. Mm-hmm. But there are underlying issues that comes along with
some children, yes. And there are some persons without disabilities, mental disabilities, born with underlying issues, heart conditions, and
But there seems to be a multiplicity sometimes of issues with the Down syndrome.
Down syndrome is about 60% of persons will have heart defects. Yes, unfortunately, and then they will have some other things. There's a higher incidence of leukemia, for example, the intestinal issues sometimes. Most children with Down syndrome wear glasses. They need hearing aids depending on what's happening. Yeah. Some children don't get teeth in the front part of their mouth because there's no bone there.
Right.
It's different. It's different for some.
Me asking you that, I know quite a few, some neighbors, kids and different things like that, and not to be harsh or anything like that. We love them. We do what we have for them. Why they're here. They're very loving. They can bring out in you what you don't know that you have. Mm-hmm. But the I know of quite a few who pass away in their 40s, right? Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if, that's why I asked the question, if they actually sit with, if the authority, whoever, the clinic, whoever, pediatrician, whoever, to sit with parents and explain to them. They're
well,
not God.
Well, I can say this. Any person in the 40s with a disability, and particularly Down syndrome, a lot wasn't done then, and a lot more things happen now. Sky is 21, but I can say this with pride. She is the first child to go overseas to get her heart fixed with special needs in this country.
And that
was in 1999. So prior to that, it was difficult. So I think now more children now with problems and technology has changed, and certainly people are more educated now about these things. They're not. But back in the day, it was a case where your child was special needs and they looked different and they were hidden in a room. And the lifespan was shorter because the things that needed to be fixed were not fixed. And that was the sad part about it, okay?
Yeah. So we just love them the time we have them. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much. Down to Brass Tacks, 1046.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling here. I was listening to Brass Tacks yesterday. And there was a lady who called in, and she was complaining about a problem she has with somebody who's doing body work or painting.
And yeah, I heard that. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And she was told by the environmental department or lady that there's nobody to investigate that claim. That doesn't sound true. That doesn't sound right. You're going to tell me that. It only takes one person. And you're going to tell me that they don't have one person who can go and investigate a matter and find out what the problem is?
Did she say no one to investigate, or she said no one can do anything about it? When she called the police, they said they couldn't do anything. Did she say she got hold of the environmental people too as well?
That's not a police matter. But I'm going to make...
No. I'm asking, I know it's not, but I'm saying, did she say she didn't get through to them? Or did she say that they said it couldn't help?
They said they don't have anybody to investigate it. And that don't sound true. But let me make two suggestions. First of all, I think she should contact the town and country planning department to find out if that person has permission to operate a workshop. That is the first thing she should do. And I would suggest that instead of making a telephone call, that she write a complaint. If you write a complaint, they have to file it and they have it on record. Telephone calls don't work very well. And secondly, the same environmental department should be able to send somebody. You don't have to take an army, just one person, to find out what the situation is and deal with it. And if she does not get a favorable response from either one of those two departments, I would suggest to her that she go to the ombudsman and lay the problem to the ombudsman and let him investigate it and find out what is the reason that she's not getting help.
Do you find that an ombudsman, and I say this in a general way, I don't know exactly, do they have the ability to do anything about it?
To investigate any government department that is delinquent, mm-hmm. That is his authority and what he's supposed to do. I have had dealings with him. And it worked.
And you've got, okay, well, that's what I wanted to hear in terms of, I haven't really heard any people mention the term ombudsman in a long time. So I was just wondering if we still have one and if it's functioning in the way that it should. But if you're saying that you've got help, well, then that's good for you to put that out there.
But that was a while ago. The last time that I know, there was an office in Freddie House building. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's still there or not. But they're supposed to be an ombudsman to investigate mm-hmm. things like this. Mm-hmm. Right? So let her go to the town planning department to find out if he has planning permission, and they will deal with that. And even environmental department should also be able to deal with it and send one person. The only thing, one person to investigate that matter. She can't say that there's nobody in Barbados to inspect that complaint. That doesn't sound true.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Incidentally, the caller just called a couple of minutes ago. He also tying. We spoke about the ombudsman, according to what I'm saying. Yeah, there's an ombudsman at CAP AA. I give the ombudsman the power to investigate the wrongdoing of any government department. Right. There's a whole list, the law, you can get it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, and after he does that, then what happens?
Well, you have the power. The law states here, which is Section 3A, mm-hmm. which is It's 3A, number 5. They say the purpose of an ombudsman is to ascertain whether injustice has been caused by improper, unreasonable, or inadequate administrative conduct on the part of a government department or any authority subject to the act. In other words, mm-hmm. it's supposed to force a government department to do what it's supposed to do.
How?
What he's saying about the individual, I don't know if it would tie into the individuality.
But engage me for a second here. How does an ombudsman, after he has the power to, he has the power to investigate, but what power does he have after that? I have the power to investigate anything. You do. Dennis does. We can call and ask questions and query anything that we want. If we're not happy with a government service, we can write, we can ask for, you know, we can demand answers if we want as customers, and it don't mean we can get it, but then what can the ombudsman do different to Dennis Johnson or yourself after investigating?
That's an interesting one. I have the act in front of me, but I haven't read the third section. But I think he has some power. I think according to the High Court, he could take the High Court and get it enforced. But it's mainly for a government department, though. It's to enforce the wrongdoing by a government department, not individuals.
Okay.
You understand? I think that's basically abroad. But the act is captured. You can get it. Download it from the website.
Okay.
All right. But my gross is this also. I'm a farmer. I spoke yesterday, too. My farming number is 2990. A farmer. Right. As a farmer, I caught yesterday the cap, the 2008, the tariff number and such. Like, I didn't want to go that today. A farmer supposed to have an incentive. He can have a duty-free vehicle. Right? The law also provides that the farmer could go ahead and buy the vehicle and within the space of 2 years apply for the duty-free concession on the vehicle. That's what the law states. Right? The custom tariff order 337E, such like. You know, the ministry, the controller council and all that. Anyway, as a farmer, I went forward and so on comply. This is 3 years I've been waiting to get my concession. I have written the agriculture ministry. They said, or they gave me a letter stating I'm a bona fide farmer, which I know I am. I've complied with all the said regulations as stipulated by the Ministry of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. Many people have come after me. I applied since 2018, up to 2020. People have come after me and have been given their concessions, right? I want to know what the criteria. Why am I being discriminated against?
Did your cap section, whatever said, gave you a timeline that after you applied for such, when you would get it? Does it say that?
No. Let me pull the customer. Let me pull the
what? Okay.
Customer, you know, again, because I always have my documents here, right? I'm going to read it from the custom document itself.
No, you're going to read the whole document. Just tell me if it says it, if it gives you a timeline.
No, it does not get a timeline. But what I'm saying to you, in the interest of fairness, how could you apply for a bit in 2018 and people come after you? I know there's a fact. Farmers come after me since 2020. Mm-hmm. Some apply as late as two months' time they had their rebate. And you, as a farmer, apply since 2018, given a letter from the Ministry of Agriculture, you are bona fide. The word bona fide means genuine farmer. You have all the necessary requisition. I have a registered business, all that.
So did you ask them this question that you're asking me?
Ma'am, I have written to the Ministry of Finance over 10 times already. I have been over there personally, submitted hard copies, submitted emails.
Oh, what was their response?
They never responded. I even wrote the Controller of Customs. Mm-hmm. That time a lady named Ms. Annette Weeks was acting. And she wrote me back and told me, well, permission for a duty-free van should be given to the Ministry of Agriculture, which I have done.
Yeah, right, so did you contact anybody in agriculture as well? Just checking.
I have contacted several people in agriculture. I've talked to the farmer, the chief agriculture officer. I've talked to Mr. Connolly. Mm-hmm. And all that understand, they cannot understand what is going on.
Okay, well, let me ask another question. Have you spoken to the individuals who would have received this concession after you? Before you that applied after you?
No, I will not speak. I have not spoken to them. But I have spoken. So I have contacts in the ministry that have assured me that so-and-so went down.
Wait. Yeah. Backtrack. You see, this is this thing about somebody knows somebody in somebody place, and this is what to tell them. Now, if these people can tell you this is what happened, how come they can't tell you what happened to yours?
No. I don't really want to go in that.
But you understand where I'm coming from. That's why I asked you, did you know of a person who would have received the concession before you that applied after you? So you came out here and you made these statements that you know for a fact. So I asked you, how did you get that fact? Do you know someone? You said, no, I hear from somebody inside of whatever.
If they know all of that,
why can't they know to what happened to yours?
But obviously, I let me put it this. I know people in agriculture itself, right? I don't know anybody in finance. You understand where I'm coming from? But let me look at Ministry of Agriculture is supposed to give you the letter, and Ministry of Finance supposed to give you the rebate. You understand the thing between the two departments then?
I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Right. So agriculture only give you the letter stating that you are a bona fide farmer. Mm-hmm. And then this letter is supposed to go to the Ministry of Finance to get basically the refund. So there's two different entities. You understand what I'm saying to you?
I get you. I still trying to figure out how you find out that other people got it before you did.
All right, let me forget that after. All right.
Let's throw water on that one. All right. So you don't know, you really don't know who got before you. What you should be more concerned about right now is we're yours.
Yeah, okay.
All right, good. Let me just start from there. We're yours.
Okay, so where is mine? I have written to finance on several occasions. I've never got a reply. After 2 days ago, I emailed him. So I asked the question, where is mine? Why am I not hearing from finance? Why am I not getting some sort of reply? If I did, I'm disqualified. Why they don't tell me, Mr. Boyce, Farmer 2990, you are not, although you have a letter, a genuine letter, you are not qualified. That's all I'm asking.
Well, look, here's a good start. Yesterday, no, Wednesday on Corey's program, I do not remember her name, ma'am, please forgive me.
Was
the Chief Agriculture Officer.
Ms. Holder,
is that her name? The Chief Agriculture Officer?
Yes.
Seemed very keen, very knowledgeable, and sometimes you can tell a personality just by listening to her. She's a breath of fresh air, and I don't know her, but it sounded that way. Why not see if you can reach out to her and see where she can guide you regarding that? As you're a registered farmer, yes, she may be new, but she might be able to help you as someone coming in new to something. She may bring a different approach to it as to how you can get through. Why don't we start from there? Sounds good? He's gone? All right. Thank you.